Father, I thank and praise you for this day. I thank you, Father, for this time that we can gather together like this. I thank you, Father, for your word and just all the aspects of it and the teachings that's in there. And we praise you for it. Just ask that you would just help us to draw that them teachings out that we can learn them and be closer to you and be the kind of parents, grandparents, and just what you want us to do for you there, Father, that we can be these kind of people for you, Father. And we thank and praise you for it. We ask now that you would help us. You know, we need your help. We need your spirit just to take full control. We ask your spirit would just enlighten us, to give us ideas and things like that also there, Father. And we just hold it before you. We trust you. We know that you'll do that for us. And we ask for your guidance and direction. Be with the message to follow after this, Father, and that you've given to the pastor, and that your spirit would take full control there once again, and you would guide and direct there too also. We praise and thank you for it all now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. People must not be out running around this morning. The time changed. I told my wife when we were coming up, I said, there's no traffic on the road. There's nobody out running around. They must be trying to get that extra hour of sleep or something. I don't know what's going on, but anyhow, it's kind of funny. Let me give you a marriage manifesto, okay? Here we go. Always kiss each other goodnight. Men, listen intently, Pastor. Listen intently. Love passionately. Ladies, forgive without keeping a record of all wrongs. Be understanding, give more than you get, exercise patience. Men, exercise patience. Put on kindness, pray together often, be a friend, respect each other, laugh together, and you old people, make sure you cuddle, okay? So there's your marriage manifesto. All right, we're talking here about training your children. Just a little bit, we're just going over the that was in this lesson that I took this from for the men. We'll be hitting this up a lot more when we get to the children. And we're getting this narrowed down, men. I can't believe it. I mean, there's lots more, but once that we get through this section here that I have, then we're just going to stop with the men right then, and we'll go into the ladies so that we can get to the children, what everybody was looking for anyhow. So we were talking about training your children. We went over training your children in a Christian home. Training, we had that character training, spiritual training, and the different aspects of it. Now, and we're going over training your children in a Christian school or your homeschooling. Either or, they both come together here because you got to put a lot of these things together for that. And we went over that it was something that it was scriptural. There is the unbelieving teacher can weaken your child's faith, and we going over that last week, and we kind of showed you there the different aspects of that. And sometimes, you know, even if you have your children in a regular school, that some of these here teachers can make it tough on the kids just because they know that they're a Christian and things like that there. And then the kids, sometimes they won't even tell you about it because they know if they complain, the teacher's going to really give it to them when they're in school. So they just kind of, the teacher makes it life miserable for them. Now, what we're going over, what we're going to start here today is an ungodly crowd can destroy your child's morals. An ungodly child can do this. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You got to watch who your children run around with, who they are. You spent a lifetime, your life, trying to put morals into them, but it doesn't take long for a crowd that they get in the wrong kind of crowd, and they're going to take in morals right out of them, because they're going to want to fit right in with them and stuff. You know how people are. They want to fit in with the crowd, and they want to, there's these different aspects of that. And this here really happens, especially when they get into the teenage years. That's when it comes. And some of you, you know, them teenage years are getting closer and closer all the time. So you're just going to have to watch yourself with that. We got a bunch of scriptures here that I want to read first of all, and then we're going to go we'll hit some other things up here. But let's see, Pastor, go to Proverbs 1, 11 to 19. Eileen, would you read Proverbs 2, 10 to 19? Yeah, Dan, would you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, and it'll be 8 to 11. Oh, 8 and 11, I'm sorry, 8 and 11. Cindy, I'm going to have you go then to 2 Chronicles 19, 2. Corby, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. And then Natalie, Revelation 18, 4. Proverbs 1, 11 to 19.
We're going to start with verse 10.
Go ahead.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave, behold, as is it with those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast them out among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run evil, and they haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they are weak for their own blood. They look privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof.
He tells them, son, stay away from them. Stay away from them. This is what's going to happen to you if you lurk after them and stuff. Proverbs 2, 10 to 19.
When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Through the paths of uprightness do walk in the ways of darkness, rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life.
Solomon wasn't no dummy at this when he was trying to teach his son, you know, the different aspects of watching who that they hung around with, watching who that they would do different aspects of this here, and he tells them these different kind of things. But listen to this, Dan. I'm going to have you read 8 to 11. I'm sorry, you know, because after I looked at that, I thought, yeah, I want the whole thing here. So here's Rehoboam. He takes over after Solomon dies. All right? Solomon had his wise men to counsel him. They were wise. Now, Rehoboam, all he has to do is be wise himself and listen to them. But you see here, go ahead, Dan, read that. See what he does.
1 Kings 12, 8 through 11. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with young men grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.
You see, Rehoboam here, this is why the kingdom's busted up. This is why they ended up with a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Because of this, the people were sick of paying taxes, just like you are. You know, you get fed up with it after a while. You think, Well, I'm trying to save money up. Some of you got budgets and different things like that, nothing to matter with it. Some of you try to save up. You put into your budget that you can save up for your taxes and stuff, and then you get your tax bill, and it's more money than what you expected because of your school systems and everything else constantly, all the time. These people were sick of it. All they wanted, all they asked was, take it a little easy on us, you know. Help us out. You're a new king here now. Help us out a little bit. Listen to maybe what these wise men are saying to you. But nope, he had to follow his crowd. He listened to the younger ones that grew up with him, the guys that he was running around with when he was younger. And here you see exactly what happens. The kingdom's busted up. Rehoboam took the southern kingdom. Jeroboam took the northern kingdom. And this is how it all started out. The southern kingdom, there was some decent guys in there that was running the show at different times. Then you had bad kings that was running the show. I don't know of a time, and maybe correct me, Pastor, but was there any kings in the northern kingdom that tried to follow after the Lord? I didn't think so. There was some. Very few, but there was some, a handful maybe, that did try to follow the kingdom here and follow after crowd. Everybody turn to 1 Kings chapter 22 here. I want to point out here something about the crowds here and stuff. 1 Kings chapter 22. It's going to take us just a little bit here because I'm going to read a lot, but we'll see here. Here's Jehoshaphat. And I don't think Jehoshaphat was too bad of a king. He tried to start out at least decent anyhow. But here he got himself involved. He got himself involved into something different here that he just should have stayed out of. And we'll see this here in a bit. But Ahab, he goes to visit Ahab. He goes from the southern kingdom to the northern kingdom to visit Ahab. Let me just start at verse 1 here and we'll go from there. It says, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto the king, his servants, know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And Jehoshaphat, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, will thou go to me in battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. What do you think of that statement? He says, I'm just like you guys. Go ahead. What do you think?
Maybe Elias would. I think it's a bad Elias. Wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Exactly. He says, they were the children of Israel, but at least that the southern kingdom was trying to follow after the Lord in some of the different aspects of it. The northern kingdom didn't do nothing like that at all. And Jehoshaphat here, he's saying, you know, sure, I'll go in with you. I like this now. He says, verse 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. At least he tries. Okay? He's trying here. And then he says in verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. You see what that says there? The prophets. What prophets? His prophets. About 400 men. Now, here's 400 men together. It's bad enough to have 400 women together that can't get along and can't agree. You got 400 men here together that can't agree either. They can't. There's no way. But yet, 400 men here agree with what the king wants. And said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, don't tell me that these 400 men all agreed on that. 400 men? Nah. I don't believe it. But you see, they were just prophets. Look here what Jehoshaphat said. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet here of the Lord? Uh-huh. He's looking for a prophet of the Lord. He's not looking for prophets. He's looking for a prophet of the Lord. That's not saying much for Ahab and his prophets here. I don't think so. But he says, is there a prophet here of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put their robes on their robes, and a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. These here are the prophets of Ahab. But anyhow, he said, verse 11, and Zedekiah, the son of Chenel, whatever his name is, you know it. I can't pronounce it. Made him, pastor can do it. I like the way he's pretty good at pronouncing these guys' names. Made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. This guy didn't know nothing. He didn't. But anyhow, keep going here. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, he's whispering in his ear now, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. All right, Micaiah, you're not going with the crowd. You're standing by yourself. You're not afraid to stand by yourself. Do it. And he did. That's one thing he does. He does it. If he has to, you have to stand by yourself sometimes. I was at a meeting the other night. They asked me to come to it. The supervisor's meeting down there, and we had some things to go over because I'm on the planning commission. Anyhow, we had some things to go over. And I always had a hang up when I was in there. We had some sewage modules that we were supposed to look at. And I look in these sewage modules, and there's two testing sites on each one. Penn Township requires only one. And that gets under my hide because I know the SCO officer is telling these people they have to have two, and he's ripping them off because they've got to pay $500 more for that extra one. And I told them about that before. Well, excuse me, I had to say something. And I told them right there. I said, didn't I go over this when I was in here and tell you guys that I thought we only had to have ones, and here we have planning modules, and there's two in each one of these different plans. And if you have lots that you're spending out here on, you got two here, or whatever. You're spending thousands of dollars extra that you don't have to have. Now, if you're for the people, why do you want to rip the people off? So I talked a little bit about it, and then I had to stand up on my own 2 feet. But they didn't give me no answer. So they knew, though. They know it. They know it, and I don't care. If I get back in there again, which some of them are begging and pleading for me too, if I do, I'm going to do the same thing. And it doesn't matter what it is. There's times where you got to stand on your own 2 feet. Micaiah here stood in his own 2 feet and said, what the Lord tells me, that's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to run with the crowd, you know. And we're not going to do that. Let's go on here before I keep getting hotter and hotter about that. But anyhow, so verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Whoa, Micaiah, what's going on here? And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing, that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, And here's Micaiah. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that thou wouldst that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Isn't that typical? Isn't that typical today? You know, isn't that typical for your president? Well, these people are against me because I'm trying to take care of them. Or people themselves. I'm going to follow after this Mr. Obama because he takes care of me. He pays for my meals. He pays for me to buy myself a car. He pays for this. He pays for that. You know, I got to follow him. If I don't, somebody else comes in here and takes that from me. What am I going to do? You know, balling around just like this king here did. You know, and you see so many people today that you talk to so many people today. Obama can be completely, and you know he's completely wrong on a lot of things. And this better here not go across the internet like I heard these other ones. But anyhow, he better not. He can do everything completely wrong, and these people will stick up for him. It doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. I've talked to too many of them. I'm in too many meetings with different ones that will stick up for him just because he's a Democrat. That's what it's all about. That is this party stuff is the dumbest, stupidest thing I ever saw, you know. Get the right man in there. I don't care what party it is. Just get somebody in there once that's going to follow after the Lord and do what's right for the people. If you're for the people, then do something for the people instead of making them dependent upon the government to take care of them and stuff. You know, you want your economy to expand and boom, get them out here working. Don't be letting them sit at home and feeding them and stuff. Nathan, he worked this past the summer before at a certain town up north here, and he knows for a fact he couldn't even tell you if there was one person in there in that town that had a job. They'd be out running around all day long, drunk, high on dope, trying to give them hard times. And everything else. They'd pour concrete and some drunk would walk right down through the middle of their concrete that they had just poured. I mean, what's this society coming to? Gentlemen, teach your kids to work, not to depend upon the government. He said there was a guy there that got out of the service and for 52 years could not find a job. 52 years can't find a job. Does McDonald's hire? There's lots of places around for a job. All you got to do is want to work. Don't let somebody else take care of you. I mean, and here's this king. Here's this king. And he's complaining because this Micaiah that doesn't follow the crowd, tells him the truth, and he don't want to hear the truth. That's the problem. And Micaiah's telling him the truth here. Verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all his host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? Now, can you see Ahab here right now? He's telling him this. He saw the Lord, and the Lord's telling him, you know, that who's going to persuade him to go up there so that he falls? I'll bet you he's getting hotter and hotter and hotter as this is going on, you know. I can just see Ahab right now. And one said on this manner, and another said on that matter, manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. I love it. He told them right there, all these prophets are liars. Now you talk about somebody that's standing up at his own 2 feet and he's not following the crowd. Here's a guy that's doing it. And buddy, it's getting worse and worse for him as it goes on. Just because he did it. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? He slapped him across the face and said, you know, where's the Spirit of the Lord? Which way did it go? I like this. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in the day when thou shalt go into thy inner chamber to hide thyself. You're going to find out, buddy. You know, you're going to find out just what goes on here once the Syrians come chasing you back home and you're in your inner chamber hiding yourself from them. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O ye people, every one of you. Hey, he's telling them. Micaiah here, he's telling them, look, people, you better listen. Here's what the Lord said. You know, the king's not going to come in peace. You can read on there. I won't read no more. I was going to read some more there, but I won't. You find out that he doesn't come back in peace. Some guy here comes up, he just takes out of the blue, grabs his bow and arrow, and he just decides, I'm going to just shoot my bow in the air. And he shoots it. He lets the arrow fly. And that seems as if that arrow just kind of hit the king Ahab and just he ended up dying through it just because of it. Just because of it. Now, I would like to know what happened to Micaiah, but the Bible doesn't really tell us what happened to Micaiah. And it would have been neat, you know. But, I mean, I don't think Micaiah was one of these people that rubbed it into anybody or, I told you so, I told you so. I don't think he was somebody like that there. But it'd been nice to see what he did and, you know, what he did afterwards and things like that there. But, see, this is what happens. This is what happens whenever you follow the crowd or you don't follow the crowd. As Micaiah did here. He didn't follow the crowd. Now, look what happens to Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 19:2. He gets rebuked because he went to help him. And he tells him, you know, you shouldn't have did it. You shouldn't have did it. But he says then afterwards, there, nevertheless, these things are good found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So he does, you know, the Lord spares him because of it, you know, of some of the things that he did do. You know, and I think he was one of the kings that did do some good things, at least anyhow, in the southern kingdom there. But he gets rebuked for going up to Ahab. He shouldn't have never did it. He should have never made alliances with him. He should have never went up to him to fight in this battle here that he was into. He could have been killed himself. But luckily the Lord spared him just because of it. And so we see that there. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Here's what Paul has to say about following the crowds now.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
So Paul there is telling you, you know, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, you're to kind of stay away from them and stuff. You have to be careful and watch yourself on some of this stuff too. Last week, and Dan was there, and Dan heard it. Glenn Jackson, we were with some of the things that we were talking, and he told me, you know, he says, you know, that we're supposed to have unity among Christians, and we are. And it's just not the Baptists. It's everybody. Somebody that's a Christian. And he said that he was brought up, he was telling us, he was brought up in a Catholic school, right? It was a Catholic school, I think, that he was brought up in. And he said that there was Catholics and Protestants there. And he said, you know who was fighting all the time? The Catholics and the Protestants. He said, what did that teach them, other kids that weren't of these two religions? What did that teach them? Nothing. He said, most of the time, a lot of these people won't get saved because of the Christians themselves fighting amongst one another, arguing amongst one another. And that is true. That's true. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I remember of a kid, of a guy that I worked with, and we started out, I asked him if he had any problem with it. So we started out in the morning, and we would read some scripture, and I'd have a word of prayer. Well, one day I asked him, and I went through the plan of salvation with him and stuff, and he accepted everything. And I thought, you know, this isn't too bad. He, you know, I believe he got saved, and maybe his life's going to change and turn around here. But there was another guy that was with us, that there was three of us together, and we worked together. But and he was supposed to be a Christian, but he would want to argue with me all the time about tongues. And he would talk about tongues now. And he would talk about tongues. He's trying to find out who it is. He would talk about tongues. Him and I would get into some heated discussions about tongues. You know, and I didn't know a whole lot about it then. I'd check it out, you know, and then I'd come back and tell him about it. But this kid, he would listen to us. And he'd hear us yapping about this and arguing about this. And what did we teach him? Nothing. Nothing. And to this day, he never growed. He never went to church or nothing. And I think it was because of that stupid incident that we did by arguing like that. And believe me, Christians, we do that. The Baptists argue about with somebody else, the Catholics or somebody. But yet there's people that are saved that we're supposed to be all, we're going to be in unity. Ephesians talks about us having unity amongst one another. Now, how do we have unity when we're arguing and fighting with one another all the time? So we got to be careful about that. You know, careful about these things, you know, and that. And when you're around a crowd, especially, you know, a different crowd of people, you know, you don't want to be teaching your children that you're standing there arguing or they're hearing you arguing about different aspects of Bible and things like that there. So, you know, be careful about some of these things. And just like he says there, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Watch yourself. Yes, we're not to follow the crowd with them and this and that kind of stuff there. But, you know, you're still not going to set an example, you know, by arguing with them about the Bible or something like that there. Just forget it. Don't even argue. No sense in doing it. You're not going to teach them nothing. Just live the life before them, you know, and let them see. Let them see. And that's what they do. And Revelation, what was that? Revelation 18:4. This is Babylon. You know, here's Babylon, the fall of Babylon, and here's what the Lord says. That's you, Natalie. So he said, you know, come out from among them. Stay away from them. Get away from them. He's telling them, you know, that particular time when that comes. And that's something that's in the future that's going to come. Now, to walk with a person implies love and attachment. And it is impossible not to imitate those we love. So we say, show me his company and I will tell you the man. Let me know the company he keeps and I shall easily guess his moral character. So watch yourself. Your children, men, want to be just like you. They do, whether you know it or not. And a lot of you know it because you can see some of their actions. You think, that's me. So be careful. Watch yourself. We need to teach our children these things. We need to, especially like I said, in the teenage years. And he's going to be more than anything else. The child wants to be like his friends. He wants to fit in. He wants to be like the crowd. you know. So be careful. Teach them the right things. Teach them the right morals about this. That's what I have on that one, questions or comments. An ungodly crowd can destroy your child's morals. Okay, nothing? All right. Proverbs, no, wait a second. No, it's not. Oh, that one's down there, okay. 2 John chapter 9. Train your children in a Christian church. Train your children in a Christian church. 2 John 9 to 11. He says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You want to train him in a Christian church. You want a church that believes the same thing you do. And I hope you believe the Word of God. And that's where you need to have them trained, in a church that believes the Word of God. I think our church does here, you know. But I'm just telling you, that's where you need to train them. They need to be trained in a church like that, so that the church can add to what you're teaching. You need to teach your children these things. Let's read a couple more verses here, and then we'll take care of this here. Let me see. Pat, would you read Romans 16, 17, and 18? Mrs. Johnson, Romans 16, 17, and 18. Mrs. Johnson, 1 Corinthians 5, 11. Danny, Galatians 1, 8, and 9. Chad, 2 Timothy 3, 5, and 6. And Amy, Titus 3, 10. That was Romans 16, 17, and 18. 1 Corinthians 5, 11. Galatians 1, 8, and 9, 2 Timothy 3, 5, and 6, and Titus 3, 10. Whenever you're ready, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Romans 16, 17, and 18. So be careful. Be careful of what's being taught. Check it out. The pastor has told you, check him out. I'm telling you, check me out. Go to the Word of God and check it out. Make sure that we are teaching you the right stuff. If we're not, stand up on your own two feet and come and tell me. The same way with the pastor. I'm sure he's not going to rebuke you if you come and tell him, Pastor, I don't agree with this. This is what the Word said, and this is how I studied it out. He's not going to rebuke you, but I'll bet you though he's going to check it out too and come back to you and give you an answer, you know. And I've heard him say already, "Hey, I don't know it all," and I'm the same way. I don't know it all either, you know. And that's how you learn. That's how I think a person learns more if he goes and checks it out himself, you know, than just listening and accepting what somebody tells you. Sometimes there's some things. If I have a question, I'm going to check it out. And I do. I check it out. And you ask the pastor. I've come to him already and told him, Pastor, listen, here's what I come up with. You know. And he listens to me. He doesn't rebuke me and tell me, hit your feet. Get out there. The road goes both ways. You know. He don't tell me that. You know, he's understanding about it. You know, and he's the same way. I'm sure he wants to learn more himself. So, you know, do it. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Galatians 1, 8 and 9.
Though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what we have received, let him be accursed.
2 Timothy 3:5-6.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts.
In Titus 3:10.
A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject.
So you're to reject them. Stay away from them. Teach your child to build his life around the church. Teach him to love and respect your pastor so that if the time comes or arises when he needs counsel and he doesn't come to you, he will go to the pastor, the man of God. Teach your children this, gentlemen. It's something to teach them. You know, a Christian church, that's what the pastor's here for. You know. He's to help out. He's not to hinder. He's to help out. I've been in churches where the pastor hinders. He don't help out. This pastor wants to help out, not to hinder. So teach your children. They can come to him. They don't need to be afraid to come to him if they want counsel. Yeah, sometimes it might hurt you because they don't want to come to you, but it's better if they come to a pastor than go to some ungodly person out here and to try to get counsel. Definitely. So, you know, teach them that. Teach them, train them in a Christian church. Questions or comments? Okay, that's the training part of this. That's all that we're going to hit right now. We're going to hit a lot more later on when we get into the children. But we have the last part here that we're going to be going over is one that there were some that has already asked me about it. Discipline your children. That's the next thing here that we're going to be going over. Disciplining your children. Might be interesting. We'll see. I got to stop there, so we'll pick it up there. Well, it won't be next week. That's right, because somebody's coming. So you're off the hook. You're okay. All right, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for your word and the teachings of it. We ask, Lord, that you would give us and that we would be wise about teaching our children. Lord, I know we're going to be going over a lot more, and I ask for your help with that, Father. Because there is a lot of different aspects of this, and some of the different things that you have shown me, and some of the different things that you're going to show me. I just ask for your help. So guide us that way and direct us that way. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.